Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymeer Church of Christ.
Make you give that up, but just letting you know, you have the opportunity right now before we get started to make that move. But we're thankful for them being with us. Again, I'm thankful for what these men do on a daily basis in so many ways. And so we'll begin. We have some handouts that are being distributed. We're starting right now with one per family, but we can make extra. Some good information will be on there as well. And so without taking up any more of their time, we'll let them share with us.
Okay, good evening. We are so glad to be with you. Can you hear okay? You want to test your mic?
All right, good evening. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
So you've got Ed Ho and Ed Short. And you know what they say, two Eds are better than one.
Indeed.
We bring you greetings from World Christian Broadcasting. Ed Ho has worked with World Christian Broadcasting since...
91.
Since 1991, full-time, and since when part-time?
86
part-time. I've been with them since 1985, so I beat you by 1 year, is all. But we invite you to go to our websites. The corporate website is worldchristian.org. And most any question you might have about World Christian Broadcasting is probably answered on that website. The other websites you see listed are for people who listen in English, for people who listen in Russian, for people who listen in Chinese, and for people who listen in the continent of Africa. So we invite you to visit those places. The first thing we want to do tonight is to say thank you, Graymeer. Why?
Because of your heart to bring the gospel to people outside of this building, not only just to your neighbors, the Americans, but also to those internationals that come to the U.S. from all over the world.
And also for your support for World Christian Broadcasting. You all have supported this ministry for years and years and years and years. At one time, you even were the How do you say that? The congregation that sent us the most amount of money every year. For a while, you were number one. But you continue sending every month. And we appreciate it very, very much. How do you say thank you in Chinese?
谢谢。谢谢。谢谢。谢谢。
So you can go home tonight and say, I know how to say thank you in Chinese. Tonight's topic, which you saw on the board, Reaching Internationals for Christ, is a hot topic. Now, Brother Phillips called us and invited us to speak about this. Incidentally, we are very glad to get to know Brother Phillips. Turns out that he and my son had some classes together. The more we talked, the more people he had had classes with that I know, including my son's brother-in-law. But glad to get to know you and glad to get to know each of you in the congregation here. So he invited us to talk about reaching internationals. A few days later, not before, but a few days later, I received the current issue of Christian Chronicle. And as you see on the front page of Christian Chronicle are articles about multi-ethnic and multicultural churches in the United States. The cover issue there is particularly about a church in Nashville and another in Westminster, Colorado. Inside the issue, there are yet others. So, this is a timely topic. The Sunday after our conversation, I went to Paragon Mills Church, which is our sponsoring church, and we go there on Sunday night a good bit. And in Sunday's bulletin, I noticed, guess what they did on Sunday morning? They had a bilingual English-Spanish worship service, because there's a Spanish congregation that meets in their building. So this is a hot topic and came and comes just at the right time. So tonight we look forward talking about this with you. The handout that we gave you is supplemental to what we're going to say tonight. It will help implement the things that we're talking about tonight. So I encourage you to take it home and read it carefully, but we'll mention it a little bit more in a few minutes. So, reaching out to internationals in our community. Why do we do this? Edward, what does the Great Commission say in Matthew 28?
你们要往普天下去，使万民做我的门徒。
So Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all people. And so we see when we think about reaching into the international community, the Great Commission assumes that we're going to do that. Jesus says, as you go, take the gospel with you. Teach it to your neighbors and to everyone that you encounter. So the Great Commission assumes that we're going to do that. Also, a picture of heaven demands it. In Revelation chapter 7, the heavens are opened and John is given an opportunity to see heaven. And what does he see there? He sees people a large crowd of people from every, read it with me, from every nation, tribe, race of people, and language of the earth. And they were all there worshiping God. Question, where did these people come from? How did they get to heaven? Because what?
Because we go to them.
Because we go to them. Somebody shared the gospel message with them. And so the picture that we see in the Bible of heaven demands that we take this message to other people, whether they be across the ocean or whether they be next door to us. It demands that we do it. Number three, the record of the Old Testament inspires it. Now, very often when we think of Old Testament, we don't think about mission. But it's there. And it's there more, really, than we realize. What are some examples? What about Rahab? As soon as the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, in fact, really before they crossed it, the spies went, you remember, and hid in Rahab's house. And later on, she was incorporated into the nation of Israel. Can you imagine? Look in the genealogy of Jesus and see who you find there. And so this picture that we see in the Old Testament envisions that God's kingdom is going to have people in it that we might otherwise not expect. What about Joseph's sons? Remember when Joseph was an old man and his father was an old man. Joseph takes his sons to his father and he says, Father, here are my sons. This is Ephraim and this is Manasseh. And what does Jacob answer back? No. He says, whose sons are they? They are my sons. You go to the back of your Bible and look in the map of the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you find a land division called Joseph? Where's Joseph? You got Issachar, you got Naphtali, you got Judah, you got all these guys. Where's Joseph? Joseph not there. Where's Joseph? Because Jacob adopted Joseph's sons as his own, there's a section of land called Ephraim and one called Manasseh. Now then, who were these guys? Their mother was who? Remember? What was she Jewish?
No.
Joseph's wife?
Egyptian.
Joseph's wife was Egyptian. Joseph's wife was a Gentile. And so from the very beginning of the Jews in Israel, the bloodline includes non Jewish blood. It includes Gentile blood. It includes Egyptian blood. Mm. How about that? That's mission. God envisioned from a long time ago that that's what it was going to be. And Ruth, our time's going to run out. We know about Ruth the Moabitess. Won't spend time on that. In Numbers 15 and 16, in Leviticus 19:34. Edward, do you want to read that and kind of say something about it? Can you see it?
The community is to have the same rules for you and for the foreigners residing among you. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. And the foreigner shall be the same before the Lord. And the regulation will apply both to you and to the same laws. The foreigners residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
I know that this scripture means a lot to you. So tell us why this means a lot to you.
To me, this is like the first immigration law in the entire history of mankind. God told the Israelite, you need to respect the foreigners as you respect yourself. And, you know, I see that in America. When I come to this country, you know, Edward and Sharon took me in just like their brother. And I just feel so warm. I love the Chinese food Sharon cooked, just like my mother's food. And so that means a lot to me. And I'm so glad and I'm so excited to read this part of the Bible and actually live through and being treated like that. And I know Grandmere would do the same too.
And so here Moses tells the Israelites, treat the foreigner as you treat yourself. And then he goes on and says, love the foreigner. So what does that say to us as far as churches in America concerned? What's our should be our attitude toward the foreigners who live in our own community? Love them. Exactly. And the best way to show love is to bring them into relationship with God. Well, I'm going the wrong direction. 1 Kings 8, chapter verse 41 is a similar scripture. I think we had better rush right along. So, number four, why do we reach out to the internationals in our community? Because the history of the church demands it. Why do I say it demonstrates it? What happened in the early church that shows us that the early Christians reached out to people different from themselves? Especially to what group did they reach out? The Gentiles! They kind of went kicking and screaming in some cases. But they did. They reached out to the Gentiles. And so God put this burden on their hearts and made the Jews learn to accept the Gentiles. And sometimes you and I may not always be so comfortable with people of different ethnic groups or different skin colors or different languages or different manner of dress. But God wants us to share the gospel of Jesus with them. So, number five, how do we do this? How can we bring this about? Because the source of love empowers it, empowers us. If the love of God is deep down within our hearts, then this love that God generates in our hearts is going to cause us to
want to believe in Him and to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus. Yeah. And to reach out to other people in our community. So this is kind of a encouragement. We hope it's an encouragement to this congregation to reach out in this county and in Columbia to people who come here from foreign nations. Tonight, Edward and I would like to just make some suggestions. We don't know you that well. We don't know your situation that well. But the two of us sat down and scratched our heads and used our experiences and came up with a few suggestions whereby people from this congregation can have table fellowship around a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and talk with people and introduce the Bible. And eventually, what's that lady right there about to do?
To be baptized.
Edward Ho is about to baptize her. Do you know within the last 10 years, this brother has probably baptized 100 people in Nashville. Now that's all right. So, what do we suggest? Number one, we suggest this congregation offer free English classes. That does not mean you have to have a degree in English. No, no, no. If you can speak English, you say, well, I don't speak English. I speak Southern. That's okay. They need to learn Southern. It's fine. Just sit down and practice English with somebody. Pick up the Bible and read. Pick up a newspaper and read. Let them ask questions. Go through the kitchen, ladies, and teach the names of utensils. Open the refrigerator and teach the names of vegetables. Go to Walmart, go up and down the aisles and show them what all these different things are and how to pronounce them. Have some English classes. Hillsboro Church of Christ in Nashville, Natchez Trace Church of Christ in Nashville, West End Church of Christ in Nashville all have this kind of a program. And it has been very successful for them. Some of them use a series of lessons called Friend Speak, which was developed in Texas with a group of Church of Christ people. And this works well overseas and it works well locally. They give you books, they give you materials, or I guess you buy them, and then mostly the Bible though, and go through and read the book of Luke with people and help them learn English. There's another organization, World English Institute, organized by my dear friend, Brother Dick Adie. Two addresses. The address you see here is the address for students. In a moment, I'll show you the address for teachers. But these are things you can look into and teach English. Edward, what do we have here?
Ed, may I say something?
Yes,
about
sir. You
English?
Bishop, please do.
When we talk about English class, I got to tell you about Mrs. Thafford. She's probably, today she's 80 years old. She came the past 10 years to Natchez Trace Church of Christ. And all she does is to say a word or read one sentence like food, Bible. Sometimes she repeated Bible 5 times, Nashville, so the foreigners can listen and maybe hopefully through listening would understand how his or her tongue needs to change so she can, he or she can pronounce Nashville. And this is all she does. She sits in 1 hour, 30 minutes, just read one word after another, or Gradmir Church of Christ, and the student will just repeat. And she helped a postdoctoral scientist from China to become a Christian just by doing that. Because when he sees her example, her patience, week after week, I think that relationship lasts probably 4 or 5 years, and he said, I want to be baptized. And so please remember, Mrs. Thafford, helping the internationals with English is not a hard thing to do.
This lady he's talking about, too, has one other special quality. She has MS.
Yeah.
And yet she drives to the church building and has her English class with these students, even though she has multiple sclerosis. Okay, so what do we see here?
Wow, Columbia State.
This, Edward Ho this morning said, this is their
mission field.
Mission field. This is your mission field. Right here down the street. The university. Did they have any foreign students?
Yeah, one of our church member from China, their son is now a student at Columbia State.
And I bet you he's not the only one. There are others there as well. In fact, they even have a special page on their website that shows their international student department. So we invite you and urge you to have contact with the students at the college. And let that be your mission field and figure out a way, we're going to say something and show you in a minute too, to have some English classes with them. So, free English classes, friendship. This program of teaching English can involve as many members as want to be involved. Sometimes a church program comes up and, well, we only need a dozen, or we only need two, or we need 50. This can involve as many people as want to be involved. At Hillsboro Church, on Wednesday night, they have this huge room. They have a meal, kind of like you have in your annex there, except it's in a larger room. And after the meal, you have these scattered two or three people here, two or three people there, two or three people, all over that huge room. And what they are, they're foreigners with the Christians studying English. It's easy. It's economical, and it is effective. So we would like to invite you, encourage you to do some English teaching. You can advertise classes wherever immigrants congregate, maybe on the bulletin board at the school, maybe on a market bulletin board. If there's a Hispanic market in town or an Oriental food store in town, they'll have bulletin boards, and they'll let you put an advertisement saying free English classes. Put a sign out front in the yard, free English classes. What's another place that you mentioned today?
Hospital.
Yesterday or day before, whatever it was you said. To do what?
This is, you know, like English. If you offer an English class, they will come because they need. In order to get a job, they need to speak English, so they will come. And hospital is also a place they demonstrate tremendous need because they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for people who can help them besides doctors. Some of the internationals, they go to the hospital, they don't know how to communicate. They have aching somewhere, but they don't know how to say it. And then they're lonely, so they need, and their family are far away. So they need someone who care, who would help them.
And go to an ER, and you see people in the ER waiting room, introduce yourself, say, I don't know what your problem is, but may I pray with you? And then strike up a conversation. Go to a surgical waiting room, you see someone there dressed, obviously, from a foreign country, you assume, or facial, whatever, may indicate that they are foreigners. You know, sit down, introduce yourself, hello, I'm so-and-so. You have someone in surgery, may I pray with you? And make contacts. As Edward said, it works. They are people in need. And so it's an opportunity. So here again, what do we have here? That's the hospital.
This is impossible.
Yeah. Again, Edward said, that's their mission field. That big hospital. They can go and make contacts and find people and bring them into the church. Another idea we had was have a big cookout, international cookout. Advertise it. Next Saturday, we're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever it is you have. And invite the international community to come and to meet you and to see the building and to have a sheet there or have something to sign up for free English classes. Anything to get people to come. These are people that we know about other than Patty. Who else can you tell them about there?
Yeah. We have Miss Donna and Tom. They are all in their probably 60s. They never taught English in their career, but they're just there. And whoever that needs a teacher, they will spend time with them practicing.
Every what is that on Friday? These are on Friday,
every
right?
Friday
night.
Yeah, every
yeah.
Friday.
They do it on Friday night. And they have these little English classes, three or four students, four or five students per teacher, sometimes one student per teacher. You see Junhui and Ching there. This is a couple friend of mine we've known for a long time in Oklahoma, actually. He moved there to go to do some additional schooling. And Ching, his wife, was met somebody, and they said, hey, we'd like to teach you English. And she said, okay, that's great. Where? And they said, the Edmund Memorial Road Church of Christ building. Okay, well, I'll do that. I'll go. So she got ready to go one night and was about to walk out the door, and her husband, Junhui, said, Ching, where are you going? She said, oh, I'm going to go study English. Where are you going to go study English? At this church building. Do you know anybody there? No. Have you been there before? No. Oh, I can't let you go there by yourself. I'll go with you. So, it took a couple of years. But Ching became a Christian. Junhui became a Christian. He is a doctor. Later on, he was a professor at Abilene Christian University. Today, he is the dean of a medical college in China. The people who brought them to Christ, the people who were their English teachers, one is named Russ, the other is named Jan. When Junhui and Ching had their two children, guess what they named them? Russ and Jan. So it's great, isn't it?
It really is.
And we just want to encourage you all to get involved in this kind of thing. So wherever you are, as Jesus says, as you go, wherever we are, not you, we, wherever we are, we meet people and try to encourage them for Jesus Christ.
Oh, Edward?
Yes.
The day Ross and Jan met Junhui and Ching in Oklahoma City, they did not know who they are. They cannot imagine that this couple are now serving as a dean of a medical school in China. This is all the Lord's business. If we say to God, God, please use me. I'd like to help a foreigner in this country. God, listen to your prayer. And He knows. He knows the one that is in need of you, your service. And He will bring that person to you. It's really not that hard.
Very good. Easy. Economical, effective. Yes. Okay, so just a couple other suggestions. You know, be smiling, be friendly. Now, if you look at the little sheet we handed out, you'll see some of this stuff too. But I'll mention that. English conversation, Bible studies. Okay, so I suggest that you print a little business card about this size. Just keep a bunch in your pocket, in your purse, in your car. When you meet someone, you know, maybe don't know what to say exactly, hand them a card. It says on there, free English classes. And gives a phone number, an address for them to make contact. So it's easy to do. You might even do it bilingual. Here, probably a lot of Hispanics, I'm guessing. You could have it in English and in Spanish. So the little handout I gave you, things that we need to do, be friendly, be sensitive, be helpful, be courteous, be needy, and be bold. Some people coming from overseas don't always have the hang-ups that Americans have about talking about religion. We are hesitant to do it, but they are not necessarily, especially the Chinese. So we encourage you to do these things. And finally, how do this? As Edward just said, pray, pray, pray. Lord, send me to some soul today. Lord, use me as your tool. Lord, may my hands be your hands. May my feet be your feet. May my mouth be your mouth. Pray. Would you like to ask some questions? How many minutes do we have? Got several minutes. We kind of wanted to have a little extra time to give you some time to ask questions, if you would like to ask questions. Yes, sir.
I came in 1985. Actually, the very reason I could stand here to speak to you is because of Edward. I met him in 84 or 85, and he knew that I was coming, and he had an interest in me, and then he introduced me to World Christian Broadcasting. So I, you know, he has me in his heart. For you all, if you have one international in your heart, whether he's an Indian or a Mexican, it doesn't matter. Just one person. And from that person, you never know how the Lord is doing. And I really appreciate my mentor and Sharon over there.
Now he has become my example, actually, in so many ways. Go ahead.
We mentioned hospitals, schools, and jail, because in those places, people, they go to those places because they have a specific need. Some wants to get a job. Some wants to get better. And somebody just got into troubles and want to be out. So if you go to jail, go to hospital and schools, and says, you know, I'm willing to listen. What can I do for you? It's a lot easier. If I go to Kroger or go to a Mexican flea market, those people are busy. They might not have a need. They might, but they might not communicate with you. So school and hospital and jail are easier. But I think to pray, and God knows. God knows you, and He would send the people to you. Yeah.
Another question? We've tried to make this really practical tonight. I don't know if we have succeeded, but we've tried to make it really practical.
Also, if this congregation would like to have a team together, it may be good to find people that the Lord has already equipped with capability to do mission work for the foreigners. For example, I know the Self's family, Jan, she speaks Chinese. And this congregation may have brothers and sisters who speaks another second language. So those, if you can gather those people together and form a team and just pray together, and that might be able to, you know, with this group, small group of body of Christ, maybe can inspire the rest of the congregation.
And also, God very well may open some doors for you. He may send you to a person who then can open doors into the Hispanic community or the Chinese community or the Cambodian community. That person may or may not necessarily be interested in studying the Bible. But that is an influential person,
yeah,
who may realize that you have good things in your heart and that your friendship would be good for the people that he knows, and he may open some doors for you. That happens overseas very often, and it can happen here as well. So we encourage you to take advantage of friendships and try and make friendships with people. I heard you tonight with Andrew at the supper table mentioning something else.
I believe something.
the soccer field.
Oh, the soccer field. Yeah, I was waiting to eat dinners, and so I stopped my car and I realized there's a soccer field there, and then three people came, so I went down and talked to them. It's a brother, bigger brother, with two small kids, and I say, we're gonna eat together. Would you like to eat with us? The two little kids wants to eat, but the big brother does not want to eat. So there, the mission field is probably just the backyard, because they're Mexicans coming here to play soccer. It could be this close. So if you have a Saturday, just have some hot dogs and drinks, and be friends with
them.
Yeah.
See, he is fearless. He went up to these strangers and just said, "Hey guys, you want to go eat supper?"
Actually, I'm very fearful. But every time I was afraid of talking to someone, I would ask God, "God, you know, with your help, I can do everything." So I will pray, and then I will go. And every time God would answer, because we're all inadequate, but God is almighty, and so he can help us to make it happen.
Other question? Yes, sir.
If I may, I would like to ask a question that you haven't touched on tonight, but knowing your Christian broadcasting, what are the reactions in China to the broadcasts?
We have over-the-air broadcasts, and we're on the Internet. Most of our ability to know that people are listening to us comes from the Internet. And right now, we have about 850 visits to our Internet site every day. Every day, about 850.
Does that lead into teaching or just
contacts or what? The way we have it set up right now, they are not able to leave a contact on our website. I probably need to try and add that some way. But they come back over and over. They read more and more material. And so we believe that they are reading and digesting the material. Sometimes they print it off. I know of some house churches in China that print material from our website and use it in their churches, in their worship or their Bible study. So we know that things like that are taking place. We are not getting very much response from over the air, and I don't quite understand the reason for that. But we are getting a lot of visitors to our website, and so from that we know that they are reading our material. Not only do they read it, but it's not unusual for us to find our material on somebody else's website. In other words, they come to our website, they read something they like, they copy it and put it on their own website. Probably the most extreme case in point, but by no means the only one. After the Japanese tsunami and earthquake, how many years ago? 4 years ago now. Edward Ho and I both wrote prayers that we put on the air and we put on the website. Pray for the people of Japan. Pray for the people who have been left homeless. And one of the prayers that I wrote, I happened to find it on the Internet website of a Catholic church in China, where they copied it and pasted it on their website. Money could not buy that. God. And there have been a lot of other things. Edward Ho's articles on different subjects are on other websites. Charles Caudill, our president, wrote an article on leadership, which Edward translated. And one day you found that on a website. I felt like I should say, hello? You found that on a website where?
Yeah, I found it on the on a Buddhist website, and they copied Charles' article on leadership and then put it on the Buddhist leadership training course. It's so interesting.
So we know that people are reading our stuff and listening to our stuff. I was in China 2 years ago, 3 years ago this fall, in Beijing. I heard our station loud and clear in my hotel room in Beijing. Does that mean we've got three more minutes or it's time to quit? Couple more minutes. Another question? Thank you for that. Incidentally, you get the star for questions. You're the only one that's asked anything. Anybody else got a question? We encourage you to look at the sheet that I handed out that shows these things and talks a little bit about them. It's all common sense, and yet it's something that we don't do. But the main thing is to knock on someone's heart. Be God's hands, be God's mouth. Rustle up that bit of courage, and talk to somebody, and God will bless it.
Please pray for World Christian Broadcasting, particularly how can we improve our website so we can have a lot more interactive capability directly go to those people that are reading to our website. Yeah. And again, thank you for your support for World Christian Broadcasting.
And thank you for the invitation to be here tonight. Appreciate it.
Edward, can you end by praying for Greg Meir and for the Lord to use this great congregation?
I think that's a good idea. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the great things that you have done for each of us. You are the light, and you have shined that light into the darkness of our hearts and our souls and allowed us to come into the joys of Jesus. And so we pray for this congregation. We pray for each other. We pray for the people of this city and this county and this state and this nation and this world, that we all can put ourselves aside and can focus on the courage that you give us to reach out and to help others to know you. Lord, you are so good. You extend your grace to us. Help us to extend that same grace to others. And so we pray now for this congregation, for the leadership, for each member, that they may gain a new kind of vision for a congregation that is multicultural, multiracial, multilinguistic, so that we may be a part of preparing that beautiful picture that John saw of heaven, where people are there from every nation, every race, every language, every ethnic group. Help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.